You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the Diamond District Bonus Hour on this Tuesday. Thanks so much for being with us. Exciting time to be a sports fan. The Masters is just come and gone after the Madness has come and gone. The draft is 9 days away. NBA playoffs underway tonight. NHL regular season wrapping up this week and the playoffs beginning on Saturday. Great battle in the East. Playoff positioning still everywhere with one or two games left, depending on who your team is. A couple of teams actually finished last night. They're done. Season goes for three more days. Not for them. They're done. Do you know what I'm curious about in the NHL? Excuse me. Is that, you know, in the NBA, most every team that had nothing to play for completely mailed it in. Completely mailed it in. And in fact, in many cases, they didn't even play their guys. What do you think will happen in hockey here over the next 2-3 days? Like, if you're the Lightning, you're John Cooper.
Well, I don't think the Lightning are playing Toronto for their last game. It's a meaningless hockey game.
Completely. For both.
For both teams. I think it'll be like a preseason game because Austin Matthews still wants to get to 70, so he's going to play. But there's going to be virtually no checking in the game. It's going to look like a preseason game, David.
Well, and that's why I'm wondering. Like, I don't play Vasilevsky. I definitely don't play Vasilevsky if I'm Tampa Bay. But, you know, Kucherov's got 99 assists. Mark, there are four players in the history of the league that have had a 100-assist season. I know you play him, you run the risk of injury. How do you justify that at the end of the game? John, why'd you play Kucherov if something were to happen to him? I get it. I told you can't. You can't justify it.
But hockey is a sport, unlike basketball, where everybody plays for the most part. You're only scratching. I mean, your roster's not big enough to scratch eight guys.
No, but you could. I mean, let's face it. The Lightning could. They could scratch Point, Stamkos, Kucherov, Hedman, Vasilevsky. They would probably have just enough bodies to scratch those five guys.
Well, and Vasilevsky's the easy one. You've got a backup. Right. So really you're scratching four because Vasilevsky's still on the bench. He's still on the in the lineup for the night. He's just never going to see the ice, no matter what the score is.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'd put him in uniform. I might put the equipment manager from, are they in Toronto? You know, I might take the Leafs emergency goalie and have him be our guy. I don't even know if I put him in uniform, actually.
Do hockey contracts have incentives?
Yes.
So there could be some of that at play, right? We see that in the NFL in Week 18. Certain guys go out there.
Yep.
They try to feed them the ball, get them their extra $10,000 or whatever it is.
In fact, there's a story going on right now. I mean, I got to admit, boy, people are coming out of the woodwork dumping on Doc Rivers. I mean, seriously, Doc Rivers lived a charmed life for 40 years as a player, coach, and broadcaster, and people are coming out of the woodwork right now. They sense, you know, you can say bad things about Doc Rivers and people actually believe you now, where for the last 40 years, if you said it, nobody would believe you. Because Nate Robinson came out the other day and said, oh, yeah, Doc Rivers benched me for a game. It cost me $1.5 million for a player incentive. And he knew it, and he didn't play me, and it cost me $1.5 million.
Make me mad too.
I was going to say I would hold a grudge
over $1.5 million. That's worthy of a grudge.
I might hold a grudge over 1,500, but I'd certainly hold a grudge over three more zeros.
Is 1,500 the number? Because if you don't hold a grudge over 1,000,
well,
if you did, you'd hold a grudge against the AAF or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, no,
and
no,
you
no,
don't hold I'm a grudge against them.
No, I'm using its material. No, no, no. If the AAF actually called me and said, hey, we want to pay you the 1,000 we owed you, I'd say, no. The story's too good. I need you to owe me the 1,000. My wife's listening right now going, what the hell are you talking about? You're turning down $1,000. Yeah, honey, the AAF owes me $1,000. I'm on like page 137 of the list of creditors. No, I don't want the money. I want to be able to say those... what's it, Bill Murray in Stripes? That guy owes me money. Right. So, but there's less incentives in hockey, Trent, I think, than all the other sports. Less incentives. Because the assumption is if you have a pulse, you play.
And playing a full season still means something to those players. Playing every game is still a badge of honor in that sport.
You brought up a good point earlier. There were two games played last night in which there was only one penalty called in both games, right?
Yeah, the Wings game had one penalty. The Bruins-Caps game had one penalty.
Right. The two most important games of the night and one penalty called in each game.
And I watched all but 5 minutes of the Red Wing game. I had to run and pick my daughter up at the end of the first. It wasn't like Detroit didn't hit last night. It wasn't like there wasn't effort there.
So basically, it's a playoff hockey really did start last night.
It did.
It's like playoff football. They don't call holding on the Chiefs' tackles once the playoffs start.
Speaking of hockey, we do have to give congratulations out to Gavin Brindley, a Stero native who will make his NHL debut tonight.
Really? That's awesome. They jammed that sucker in this year before next. That's awesome.
Finished his career with the University of Michigan when they lost in the Frozen Four, signed his contract with Columbus, and will play tonight as the Blue Jackets host the Carolina Hurricanes.
That is pretty cool. Get the debut out there. Get the jitters out, if that's even a thing. Then you get a whole offseason of NHL.
Well, it's just pretty remarkable. A guy who played hockey here.
Right.
You know,
grew up in the 2-3
here.
Run. Right.
Played for the Junior Everblades before he went on and played junior. I mean, it is pretty remarkable to see what he has accomplished. And congratulations to his parents. And, you know, I know his dad, Ryan, really well. He played for the Everblades, so... And Ryan still works with a lot of young hockey players in the area, so good for the Brindleys. That's a spectacular night for that family.
Boy, think about what on cloud nine they are right now in Columbus. All right. Probably attending the morning skate. I'll bet the organization probably let him watch the morning skate.
I just hope that Gavin doesn't wear all his University of Michigan gear into the arena
right,
playing
Columbus.
For the Blue Jackets.
Right. No, you got to bury that. Okay, got to hand that box to mom and say, hey, listen, when you guys go back to Southwest Florida, you take this with me. I can't wear this stuff here.
Yeah, you can't even bring it with you.
No.
You can't even have it in the closet.
No.
Right. It's not like they're in another city in Ohio. They're in Columbus.
No, I mean, well, he could have played for any other team in the league and proudly have worn his Michigan garb into the arena, and no one right. would have given a damn.
And it's force multiplied by the fact that Ohio State's lost 3 in a row to Michigan in the game.
Now, hopefully he has a good year next year and gets off to a good start. And in the locker room, he can joke about it. He can maybe place some bets with some people.
You know? Yeah, I don't know if any of the other Blue Jackets will care. It'll just be the you know, your arena attendance and the people walking
exactly.
in and
right.
where he parks his car and things
sure.
of that nature.
Absolutely. Tell you what, though, if you want to make bets with him, though, because if by chance, you know, and especially since Ohio State's going to be expected to win this year, that and they're at home, that, you know, you make the bet with him in which you go, you know, if your Wolverines lose, you got to wear something Buckeyes.
Does Ryan Day have the hottest seat of all the hot seats entering the season?
Oh,
and I'm not saying from a fired standpoint, but the most pressure.
Yeah.
I will say this. I don't know how much pressure he has the first 11 games of the year, but I do think week 12 is a fireable offense. That this year especially. He brings in Chip Kelly as offensive coordinator. They spent $5 million keeping guys from turning pro and bringing in transfers. $5 million. I think they have the best roster in college football. Even better than Georgia. He has to win the game. Because otherwise they'll just go, oh, John Cooper, and we hung on to him too long, so he got to go.
Yep, and all season when they're winning, like to your point, David, week 12 is what's going to have the most attention on it, but all season it's going to be like, all right, they're 7-0, still got to beat Michigan.
Yeah, be ranked number 2 behind Georgia all year long.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and also with a 12-team playoff, an Ohio State fan is like, we're going to be in the playoffs. But we got to win the Saturday before Thanksgiving.
Right, like 11-1 and being the sixth seed in the playoff is not good enough for the Ohio State fan.
Well,
I know, and then to get ready for that Big Ten championship game against Oregon.
Just can't help yourself with those.
Well, that's what it's going to be, Ohio State and Oregon in the Big Ten championship this year. That's my prediction.
All I know is we're going to be doing it on CBS. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm going to mock it, but only to a point. Listen, they call it the Big Ten. There's 34 teams in that. Is that our fault? No. No, that's why the whole LIV, you can't change it to 72 holes because, you know, what are you going to – no, you don't have to change the name. How many teams in the Big Ten? 18?
I don't even know anymore,
yeah,
David.
18, I think. So, what are they calling it? Anybody saying we got to change this to the Big 18? I don't think so.
What if they just called it the Big Conference?
The Big.
The Big. Come on, that's pretty good. That'd be good.
But Ohio State would go, no. We own the. You can't use the. We own the.
How about just Big Con? Con short for conference.
Tonight on the Big Network, conference history. We'll look back at the career of O.J. Simpson.
Oh. Definitely too soon.
Really? Really? Are you sure?
Yeah. I don't think – the Big Ten doesn't deserve that slander.
Okay, then from that standpoint, maybe.
Now, if it's one of the final programs that airs on the Pac-12 network, now maybe they deserve it. The Big Conference. It's pretty good.
And it is.
Yep. Oh, it's huge.
In 10 years, they'll be like, let's look back on the all Big Ten matchup between Washington and Michigan for the national championship.
You know, you were the Big Ten, and now you're at 18 with the threat of going to 20 to 24. Don't you have to go from Big Ten to huge and then put a number next to it? We were the Big Ten. Well, that's when we were the Big Ten. That's when we were a regional conference. When they bring in Florida State and Miami and they're in damn near four corners of the country, don't you then have to become the huge 20?
The huge 24?
The huge 24.
Too bad Fasilo's not alive for that.
I'll tell you, he would have sponsored that sucker. Miller and Moulton. Good, bad, ugly, what's on tap? Today's the day one in 25 minutes.
Welcome to the Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
21 minutes past the hour. Good, bad, and ugly, what's on tap? Today was the day when, along with some final thoughts and picks and maybe a wager or two, and Trent's back, so there'll be a sprinkle. Okay, you just don't know how much and on who, but there'll be a boost and a sprinkle. It's all coming up in about 20 minutes. Speaking of betting, Jontay Porter, the Toronto Raptor,
right?
Who Adam Silver last week? He didn't hint. He actually said, if what's alleged is true, I'm going to ban him for life, and I've got the authority to do it. Okay. So there are reports coming out in the last hour that Jontay Porter, the younger brother of Nuggets forward Michael Porter Jr., owned and operated a VIP account at FanDuel. And over a two-year period that ended last year, Porter placed millions of dollars of bets through FanDuel's Colorado Sportsbook. However, he did not wager a dime on NBA or college basketball. The account was shut down when Porter signed a two-way contract with the Raptors last year. The betting that he was doing was when he was playing in the G League with three different teams. More than 1,000 wagers. Don't know if he won or lost, to be honest with you. here's my question. Now, the NFL's got their rules, and I don't know if we're totally familiar with the NBA's rules.
I'm not, so I apologize.
But if you didn't bet on the NBA, and there's nothing here that indicates that he threw a game or anything. I mean, in fact, the book was shut down before he joined the Raptors. I mean, what can you do? What should
about
you do?
About this? I'm not sure they can do anything. But the alleged this has nothing to do with what this is prior to him.
Correct. This is prior to these two games in question, one in January, one in March, in which there was unusual betting activity on Jonte Porter prop bets. And he's a guy who averages, what, like 5 points a game or something like that, and people were basically betting the over-under on whether he was going to score. I think 4.5 was the over-under points.
And they were betting the unders on these, and these were two games that he left because of injury and sickness.
Illness, correct. But I'm just curious. So, you know, that's – but if you're the commissioner of any league, I mean, is this – Guy Wagers spends, you know, 2 years, makes 1,000 bets a few million bucks, may have won some, lost some. None of the bets, by the way, on your league.
Right. Over 2 years, I mean, y'all can do the math. That's a little over a bet a day.
Right. I mean, we're not talking.
No, I mean, but we've made four during the show before.
I know.
I mean, no, right. Just to put it in perspective for people, how quickly you could get to 1,000. I would guess that Trent has made at least 1,000 wagers in the last year.
Probably. Yeah, no, you're right, because you make a ton at once. You put a couple futures down. All of a sudden, it's not unfathomable at all.
So it's not unfathomable during football season to make 50 bets in a weekend. You start going nuts and betting halves and chasing a little bit.
Bowl season.
Throw a little prop bet action in there. But between Saturday and Sunday,
there's a lot to bet on.
You lose everything. You're betting a soccer game at 3 a.m. I mean, this is how it happens. It is my favorite part about going on the app, because I usually check the app, the Hard Rock app, daily just to see what's going on. And in first thing in the morning, what's trending is table tennis. People are betting table tennis.
That's because it's happening on the other side of the world.
Correct.
And that's the hot time for it.
Guy that I know that was a bar manager who worked late was big on betting like Aussie rules football, because he'd get home at 4 a.m. and that's what was on.
Somebody that you and I know very well placed a big bet last night on the White Sox Royals under. And I said to him, I go, just so you know, this is an indication that there's a problem. Just so you know. White Sox Royals.
What do you mean? White Sox have been shut out like 6 times this year. Seems like a very logical bet to me, David.
That's what he told me. He said, I don't want to hear it. The White Sox suck. They don't score any runs. The Royals have good starting pitching. I go, yeah, but the Royals may go over just by themselves. He goes, nah, not, quote, not what my guy is telling me. I'm like, wait, you've got a guy?
That's, by the way, when it becomes a problem. When you've gambled enough that you're hiring again. We love Lee.
Right. So he's got a guy to help him place bets with the Hard Rock app, and he's betting the over-under on White Sox-Royals games in mid-April. And, of course, what do I get at about 10 o'clock last night? I get a text going, 2-0 Royals, and then an expletive after it. Okay, kind of like, don't question me on baseball. A sport that he wasn't following until 3 weeks ago. But okay, all right. Okay. I mean, I didn't know he knew anybody who, you know, and I don't know if he knows a single player on the Royals or White Sox.
Probably not.
No. You know, as he joked with me yesterday, he goes, George Brett still play for the Royals? I go, as a matter of fact, no. So anyway, there's just a little update on the Jontay Porter thing. So apparently he, I got to admit, when you're in the G League and you're wagering like that, I mean, that's kind of like Trent wagering what he's wagering working for us. I mean, we're basically the G League of sports talk radio. I mean, you get paid roughly the same.
I was in a really good mood until you said that. I'm in the G League?
Yeah, we're the G League, excuse me, G League Ignite.
They're out of business.
Well, they will be soon, not yet.
They're going under.
Yeah, yes, they are. But think about it. You're playing in the G League, and you're placing 1,000 bets over a two-year period in time. You're getting paid with ham and cheese sandwiches, dude. What are you doing?
I got you, but that's where I'd want to see what he's wagering.
It's all about gambling within your means.
Exactly.
Well, he wagered at least $1 million, they said.
Oh, well, that's significant.
Yeah, I mean, you know, So, I mean, that's more than Trent. I mean, you know, Trent makes a $7, $8 wager. I mean, that's like back up the truck for Trent.
Yeah, I mean, Trent made 1,000 bets. The total amount wagered in those 1,000 bets was $4,000.
Exactly. And that's because, you know, the boost and the sprinkling and what have you. Otherwise, it would have been like $2,500.
How often, Trent, do you run a dollar parlay with about 5+ teams?
A couple times a week, you know. My hit rate, too, is probably about 30%.
That's fantastic.
Because I'll just pick big favorites, and I just take them on the money line, throw 5 of them together, put a dollar on it to win $7 or $8. It's all about stacking them. You got to just keep stacking them, one at a time.
I've been told. Yep. By the way, our friend who bet the under on the Royals White Sox also threw $5 on Chase Elliott to win the NASCAR race Sunday in Texas. So he thinks he's on a heater right now.
He is on a heater. Chase Elliott hadn't won in what?
42 races.
That's a pretty good pick right there.
Yeah. That was 20 or 21 to 1 odds, something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That'll keep Mac. That'll let him bet baseball for another couple of weeks, so he can lose all that money on the NASCAR race.
I was going to say, if Trent had a bet that won that much money, he could gamble till Memorial Day. Miller and Moulton. Good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap today was today when. And our best bets. Big bucks. $3, $4 at a time. Coming up.
Welcome to the bonus hour. Brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Major developments during the commercial break. Miller and Moulton, thanks for being with us. MillerandMoulton.com. Miller_Moulton on X. Mark Miller's life just got worse during the commercial break. He received a phone call. It wasn't tragic news. It doesn't involve someone's health, except maybe Mark Miller's future health. Mark, so you're going to try to watch the Wings tonight. What do you think is going to be on in the background?
Apparently, my daughter playing the violin. I received an email that's a reminder that violin club practices tomorrow. Didn't know the daughter was in the violin club. Didn't know that there was, wait for it, a violin club.
Me neither. Huh.
In the email, fortunately, I'll be good for tonight, David, but it says students are allowed to take their instruments home to practice. Great. Nothing I want to hear more than I encourage my daughter to do everything. Don't get me wrong. There's not anything the kid doesn't do. And I take her to every damn practice. We've tried drum lessons. We've tried guitar. Her hands weren't big enough. Now she wants to play the violin. I would much rather she played the guitar. But if she wants to play the damn violin, knock yourself out.
I was going to say, I gave you guys drums, didn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, you're going to get them back the next time you're here, too.
Then during the break, we all had to say, okay, what instrument did we play? Trent, you played?
I played the French horn, and I was good at it. The only reason I quit was because I didn't think it was cool anymore. I was that guy.
You thought it was cool at one point?
Well, I conformed to, you know, all my buddies quit, so then I quit.
Bad move.
I know. I do regret that.
Bad move.
Anyways, French horn.
Besides, women like a musician. All musicians. I mean, here's a guy in our Twitch chat room who said, you know, I was playing a cello. I switched to a sax just for a girl. I mean, you know, you never give up music if you're trying to land the ladies.
Yeah, I don't know if the French horn brings in the women.
It does. It can't hurt.
Are you sure? Have you ever seen someone that plays the French horn? You know what? He plays the French. Now, I'm sure what you have to do with your tongue to get music out might intrigue some people.
We switched to bass guitar. We're in a better place.
We're a little young maybe for that, but okay. So my mom heard our conversation once again, twitch.tv/Miller and Moulton. You can watch us. And during the commercial break, sometimes we're pretty good. And my mom, because I played the clarinet. Mark, what'd you play?
I played the saxophone.
Okay. I played the clarinet. And my mom texted me and she said, I love you, but you were awful. I know.
I remember knocking down the Muppet theme. That was big. We had to play the Muppet theme in the spring concert. And I got to do the bad note at the, you know, how Gonzo would get up at the end and play the off-key note. That was my big moment on that.
I can't believe my mother didn't kill me. She was working three jobs. It was just the two of us. One-bedroom apartment. I had the bedroom. She's sleeping on a mattress and a box spring on the floor in the corner of the living room. And I'm at the end of the apartment playing a bad clarinet, practicing six nights a week. Are you serious?
Yeah, the clarinet doesn't sound terrific when it's played correctly.
Right.
I can't imagine what it sounds like when you're playing it poorly.
And you really know when you've missed the note.
Yes.
You really know.
It squeaks at you.
It's kind of like, you know, passing gas in church. I mean, everybody knows. Wow. Once again, tell you, my mom, pretty special lady. All right. So anyway, calamity in our lives.
If for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
All right. Not a lot today, unless I'm missing big stuff, because I looked twice to make sure that I had everything correctly, and I've got nothing. I've got 1929. The Yankees were the first teams with their numbers on the jerseys. It corresponded to the batting order. Bob Feller in 1940 throws the only no-hitter on opening day. The Toronto Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup for the third consecutive season in 1949. I wanted to point that out to people to let them know that they actually won the last game of the season at some point. And Walter Cronkite begins hosting the CBS Evening News today in 1962.
And that's the way it was.
Wilbur Wright, Charlie Chaplin, both born today. Kareem is 77. Bill Belichick, 72. Actors John Cryer and Martin Lawrence are both 59 today. That's all I got.
Did you see Belichick with his kid at a Washington Huskies practice? He cut the sleeves off the Huskies sweatshirt.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was so great. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote the letter from Birmingham jail today in 63. And Kendrick Lamar, 6 years ago, becomes the first rapper to win the Pulitzer Prize.
It's making headlines these days, Kendrick is. I don't know how in tune you are.
I will say that the reply, is it the J. Cole, the second one?
Yeah.
Is way better than Kendrick's diss track, I think, personally.
Okay. I mean, I listened to both
back-to-back. My son sent them to me because I like Kendrick.
Yeah. Kendrick's great.
And I thought the J. Cole one was better.
There's a lot. I think there's a lot more coming, so we'll see.
Oh, it's they're on.
No one knows what we're talking about, so I guess I'll just.
And the Virginia Tech massacre was 17 years ago today. Mark never mentions those. I give Mark a lot of credit.
I just don't know why.
Well, just, you know,
Yeah,
also,
I know.
If there's anybody who's listening who was impacted, had a kid on campus, or they're from Virginia Tech or what have you, I mention it because I don't want you to think that we don't feel it's important. That's all.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
You know, for the good, I was going to go for these three sailors that were stranded on a remote island and spelled out help in letters to get rescued by the Coast Guard. But I'm going to skip that for the Idaho man by the name of David Rush, who set a world record for balancing a running lawnmower on his chin for 9 minutes and 17 seconds.
I'm sorry. I thought you just said a guy balanced a running lawnmower on his chin.
For 9 minutes and 17 seconds to break a Guinness World Record.
Because I know there are times when I'm not paying close attention to this segment, and I really should. But once again, I thought you just said a guy balanced a running lawnmower on his chin.
For almost 10 minutes, David Rush is his name. He's on a quest to hold the most concurrent Guinness World Record titles. He previously attempted the record about 4 years ago, but his time of 3 minutes and 52 seconds was disqualified, David, because the lawnmower didn't have a bag on it.
There has to be some food-related Guinness World Record that we could get Moulton to break. There has to be.
First off, I can't even think of these categories. It's like, hey, we want to have a world record. Well, I have an idea. You know, I was watching the guy across the street cut his grass the other day, and I was thinking, how about if we do something with a lawnmower? Well, what were you thinking? I don't know. Maybe balance it on my chin?
And then you go to look, and you see that there already is a record,
right?
And it's 8 minutes or something
like
that.
But it's not any good unless the lawnmower's running.
And it has to have a bag on it? Seriously? And by the way, running, that implies like
blade moving
stuff.
Right.
I mean, talk about a close shave. Hello.
Well, we've said it many times in the show, you can't fix stupid. And Antonio Rosario is one of those stupid people. He had already served time and shouldn't have had a firearm. And when he was at the Dunkin' Donuts, he got upset because they couldn't fill his order. You see, he wanted 6 pumpkin donuts, and they only had 5. So he goes nuts in the store, saying, you're going to blank and make it. So they called 911 because they were freaking out because this guy's throwing a tirade about wanting 6 pumpkin donuts. He had a firearm with him. He's going to land in prison for 7 years for wanting that 6th donut.
Man, that's an expensive donut.
You got that right.
By the way, dude, you can go probably within 10 minutes. There's another Dunkin' somewhere. I bet they had one. No?
For the ugly, we come back to home in Lee County, where a man is going viral for biking nearly naked.
Wait, people, nearly naked?
Nearly naked. He's wearing straps on his bottom, and he's riding down the main roads. No word on who he is, but the Lee County Sheriff's Office said, although awkward, this is not a crime unless he's actually showing it. And he's got straps over it, so apparently this is legal, but certainly wins today's Good, Bad, and Ugly on April the 16th, 2024.
Trying to do the visual, and then I just stopped. And
thank
I said, you.
You
know what? I don't.
You don't
that.
Need that.
I want to go back to balancing the lawnmower on my chin instead. All right. 8 games in the NHL tonight. By the way, Buffalo Sabres just fired their coach. He lasted 3 years, which in Buffalo is an eternity lately. So 8 games in the NHL.
They were supposed to make the playoffs each of the last 2 years. I mean, they were expected to make a run for the playoffs. The Sabres, the last 2 years, they haven't.
They finished above 500 this year, but not good enough, and so he's gone. They're going to bring in a taskmaster. You wait. They're going to bring in a veteran taskmaster. I don't know who that is. You know, Kenny Hitchcock could use another job, right? So the Panthers were supposed to be playing a meaningless hockey game tonight, but the Bruins have not put the division away. So Florida's hosting Toronto, final game of the year for the Panthers. They're only a point behind the Bruins, and they own the tiebreaker on Boston. So if Boston doesn't beat Ottawa at home tonight, then the Panthers can win the division. Now, the bad news, if you're the Panthers, do you want to win the division? Do you want to play the Leafs in the first round or the Lightning in the first round?
I'll take the Leafs.
So we'll see who plays for the Panthers and how much and all that. And Austin Matthews going for 70 tonight, right?
Yes.
Isn't he at 69?
Yes.
Okay. So Detroit and Montreal. They're tied with the Capitals for the final playoff spot. Final game of the year for both teams. Capitals in Philadelphia. Caps win. They're in as the second wild card. If they don't win, the Wings with a win are in as the second wild card. If both the Caps, and by the way, the Flyers are 2 points behind the Caps. They need a regulation win tonight at home against the Caps. So don't be surprised, close game late, Flyers pull their goalie in a tie game or in overtime even.
Well, no, not in overtime, in regulation. Yes.
Right. So don't be surprised if the Flyers end up pulling their goalie in the final couple minutes of the game tonight. Gavin Brindley from Estero, NHL debut tonight, right?
Columbus taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. Gavin Brindley on the ice for the Blue Jackets.
And Carolina with nothing to play for after the Rangers clinched the division and the one seed last night. NBA playoffs tonight. Trent Scott has LeBron Lakers shirt on. Lakers in New Orleans. Zion finally plays a playoff game. What's this? His fifth year in the league? Something like that?
Yeah, five. And if you would have told us years ago when he was going to Duke and everything that it'd take 5 years for him to be in the playoffs, I'd have called you crazy.
Now, I think New Orleans made it a couple years ago, but he was injured and he didn't play. So Zion against LeBron tonight. Winner gets the Nuggets in the first round. Loser hosts the winner of Sacramento Golden State. Sacramento hosting that game tonight. Loser's season is over. The spreads are small on both those games, right?
Right. The Lakers are a one-point dog. And Golden State's a three-point favorite in their game against Sacramento.
TNT with the hoops tonight. Baseball, obviously, everybody's playing. It's a Tuesday. You know, I mean, Marlins are home for the Giants. Rays are home for the Angels. Trent, if you're looking for something to do in the afternoon, your Tigers, 1 o'clock, hosting the Rangers.
Oh, I'll be watching. I'll be watching them. They gotta
Don't be sprinkling?
I'll sprinkle. They got to come up with some hits, though.
Yeah, need some runs.
1-0 yesterday. Pathetic.
So there you have it. And the Yankees begin life without John Sterling in Toronto. Miller and Moulton. We'll do it again tomorrow.